We're going to turn our Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter number 1, and trust the message tonight will be an encouragement to you. Matthew chapter number 1 in our Bibles. Now, if you would like to go along with me, I have some verses I'm going to look up in Luke as well. And so you can go along with me to Luke if you want. I hope that the thoughts that I want to give you tonight, it'll be a Christmas message, and I hope the thoughts that I'll give you tonight will be an encouragement to you, because sometimes when we preach a message, we have no idea as a preacher where God has certain people. There might be something tonight that God can use just from this Christmas Bible character here tonight to encourage you with a very challenging time that he went through. We're going to talk about Joseph tonight, and we know that he was the man that God used to be the earthly father of the Lord Jesus Christ, Mary and Joseph together there, and Mary giving birth, and then Joseph helping to raise Jesus, baby Jesus there, and then in his childhood years. And so we're going to look at Matthew chapter number 1, but again, we've got some passages in Luke we want to look at as well. And here's something that I want us to notice in these passages of Scripture in Luke, and then also in Matthew here, the story of Joseph. So I'm going to start out in Luke chapter number 1, and I want to read verse number 13. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 13. Last Sunday morning, we preached a message about John the Baptist. And he was the man who was sent by God to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. And he was born to Zechariah and Elizabeth as his parents. And again, to prepare the way of the Savior that was to come, he was to point people to Jesus, right? And remember, he said that statement, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," and said, "I'm not here because I'm the Messiah. I'm not even worthy to unloosen the latchets of his sandals, but I'm here to point people to him." And there was something that happened in Luke chapter number 1. We were reading from this last Sunday morning. Look at verse number 13, if you have it open there. Now, if you're in Matthew 1, that's fine. But I'm going to read Luke chapter 1, verse 13. And the Bible says this, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Now, we're reading a couple verses in the book of Luke, and then eventually we'll go to the book of Matthew. But we're reading these ones in Luke to help us to notice the fear nots that we find in the Christmas story. You've probably noticed when you've read through the Christmas story, you've noticed several times in which the angel would say, "Fear not." Here's an angel saying, "Fear not," to Zechariah there in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 13. By the way, the Christmas story is specifically found in Matthew chapter number 2, Matthew chapter 1 and chapter 2, and then Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. So really those two gospels are the only gospels that really give us any kind of account of the Christmas story. And so that's why we're centered here in Matthew and Luke. But in Luke chapter 1 verse 13, "The fear not for Zechariah. Fear not, God's answered your prayer, you're going to have a son." But then would you look a little further down there in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 30, the Bible tells us now God uses an angel to come to Mary. She is the virgin that's going to give birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 30, watch this, it says, or notice this, it says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." And so that's the fear not for Mary. Can you imagine the situation there? Just as you can think about Zechariah, he is older. His wife is older. She's barren. She has not had any children, and it didn't look like because of their age that she would have any. But this angel comes to Zechariah and says, "Fear not. God's answered your prayers." Again, somewhere, we said this last Sunday morning, somewhere along the way they had been praying, hadn't they? And God said, "I heard it." He may not have answered it exactly in their time, but the point is he heard it, right? And he heard their prayers. He said, "I've heard your prayers, and I'm answering your prayers, and I'm going to give to you a son." And think of the wonderful and the special ministry John the Baptist had. So the fear not for Zechariah, you can imagine his situation that he was in and the words "fear not" that he would need to hear. But then think about the Virgin Mary. Now remember, she even starts to ask the angel, "How is this going to happen, seeing I know not a man? I'm engaged to be married, but how is this going to happen?" And so he says to Mary, "Fear not." He says, "I've got some good news for you there in verse number 30. Thou hast found favor with God." You have found favor with God. The Holy Ghost is going to conceive in your womb, and you are going to give birth to not only just any child, not only just any baby, not only just any boy, but it's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to be Emmanuel. He's going to be Jesus. He's going to save his people from their sins. So the fear not for Mary. But then Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we were in chapter 1. But in Luke chapter 2, the Bible says that now an angel comes to the shepherds. The shepherds are out in the field and they're taking care of their sheep. As a matter of fact, I know you've probably heard it said this way, but it's amazing how God used that group of shepherds to be the one that he made his announcement to. He could have certainly made his announcement through the angel to some kind of a wealthy figure. He could have made it to anyone else or any other occupation, but he chose those shepherds out in the field. And knowing that they would come and give glory to the Savior, he has that angel announced to the shepherds. And as a matter of fact, we heard it in the Christmas program, didn't we, this morning? And we heard that line to say, hey, if you would have seen angels for the first time, you would have been scared by that or shocked by that. And so I know there was a line in the Christmas program that talked about that. So Luke chapter 2, look with me if you would at verse number 10. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. As a matter of fact, you would look up in the verse previous to it at the very end of the verse, and it says they were sore afraid. So he says, fear not to them. And he says, I've got some good news to deliver to you, because I'm bringing you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So there's the fear not for the shepherds. Again, we see this several times in the Christmas story. So the fear not for Zechariah, and then the fear not for Mary, and the fear not for the shepherds. But then we get that fear not for Joseph. Look with me, if you would, at Matthew chapter 1. If you're already there, we'll start reading in verse number 18. So Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 18 in the scripture tonight, it says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, by the way, that verse there would tell us again what we have heard all throughout Scripture, that the Holy Ghost was going to be the one that would conceive this child in the womb of his mother. It says it at the end of that verse, was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Now let's read to the end of the chapter, but I'm going to come back and I'm going to try to share with you some truths here. Verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, here's the words now, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child. Now here's the verse we're memorizing this month. And shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now we're going to get to the context of these verses here in just a few moments, but first of all, I have a question that I would like to ask you by way of introducing the thought that I want to share with you tonight. Have you ever had a time in your life, and I think we would, if we were to be honest tonight, I think we would all acknowledge this, and this is why I hope maybe specifically this message might help you at some place where you might find yourself right now in life. Have you ever had one of those times in life where it's comforting just to hear the still small voice of the Lord telling you, fear not? Have you ever had those times in life where you say, I just needed to hear the comfort from my Savior, saying to me again in that still small voice that he speaks to us in, fear not, you have no need to fear. You know, the Bible tells us in the New Testament of our Bible there in the book of Timothy that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Maybe tonight you can think about times in your life where you've been a little bit in a situation, maybe a little bit like Joseph, where things seem to be out of control. Things seem to not be in the order that you would desire them to be. And again, you just need the presence of God to come along beside you and just let you know you don't have to fear. I'm taking care of everything. I'm sovereign. I'm in control of it all. Aren't you thankful for the fear not in this passage? Joseph realized he had no need to fear. Now, the context of the passage, of course, is that he's engaged to Mary. and they have not been physical in any way at all. They're making plans for their future, though, and desiring, of course, to live their lives married and excited about that, I'm sure, just like we would say that would be true of anyone that was about to marry someone in the day today as well. So there was excitement about that. Well, then all of a sudden, he discovered that Mary was with child. Can you imagine how sad that would have caused him to be? Can you imagine in your mind today how disappointed that would have made Joseph to hear that this lady that I am engaged to, that has promised that she would marry me, promised that she would be faithful to me, now I'm hearing that she is going to have a child. Can you imagine how confused that would have made him? And as we think of this situation in context of the scripture, I hope that now you're at a point where you could say, Joseph needs a fear not, doesn't he? He needs God to come along and say, there's no need to fear. I'm in control of a situation that may seem confusing. It may seem like it's out of control. It may seem as if it doesn't make any sense, but I'm in control. I want to give you three thoughts tonight. And again, you might find that you're at one of these places in your life tonight. And I hope if that's the case, you will get to a place as a child of God where you'll say, I have no need to fear. You'd be able to hear God's still small voice saying to you, just like he said to Joseph, fear not. The first thought I want to give you tonight is this. I think that we notice in this passage that Joseph receives from God a fear not for a time of disappointment. Can you imagine how disappointed Joseph would have been to hear this news? Look with me, if you would, at verse number 18 in the passage again. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 18, it says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, again, you're picturing all of this that's in context of the passage here. They're espoused to be married before they had come together in any way physically, but yet she was found of child with the Holy Ghost. Here's Joseph as he is hearing the news of the pregnancy of Mary. He's concluding that Mary has been unfaithful. He's concluding that in some way, Mary has been immoral. And so because of that, immediately Joseph would have been disappointed. And you can imagine that immediately he would have had feelings of unfulfilled expectation. We've been talking about that a little bit in Sunday school. Sometimes we get our whole entire thinking off when we are expecting somebody to do something, and then that expectation that we have goes unfulfilled. What I mean by that is this. Many times we're expecting people to do something for us or maybe to treat us a certain way, and they might not on their end have even known that you were expecting something from them. And then when it's not delivered on your end, it just leads to unfulfilled expectations and a whole lot of disappointment and a whole lot of discouragement. Here's Joseph now, very disappointed. There's been unfulfilled expectations. But what he is concluding in this story is incorrect, isn't it? Matter of fact, the details that he has are inaccurate. Because Mary still was a virgin, wasn't she? And Mary had only conceived in her womb of the Holy Ghost. So at that moment, Joseph didn't have all of the facts, did he? You know, sometimes we read through this Christmas story and we already know the end result. So sometimes maybe we don't take it verse by verse and a verse at a time and really concentrate on all of this. But can you concentrate on thinking of what Joseph was considering in his mind before we... See, we already know what the end result is, don't we? We already know that the angel is going to come to him and say, hey, fear not, everything's okay. Mary, your espoused wife is still a virgin. She's just going to have a child, and he's going to be born of the Holy Spirit. But at that moment, he didn't have all the facts. You know, sometimes it can lead to a whole lot of disappointment in our lives when we don't have all the facts, right? And we're trying to put something together in our mind, but we don't have all of the facts, and we have moments of disappointment. What Joseph at that time thought was very sinful was something really that God was going to use to be very sacred, wasn't he? He's thinking Mary's been unfaithful, Mary's been immoral, and he's thinking it's a sinful act, but instead God has a sacred plan in all of it. I would say that you would agree with me tonight that we have all had times of disappointments. We have all had times of discouragement. We've all had challenging times in our lives. But may the disappointing times be times in which we put our trust in God. And at those disappointing times, we hear God's still small voice speaking to us saying, "Fear not." Yes, you might be disappointed. Somebody might have unfulfilled expectations and have not fulfilled the expectations that you have, or you might be going through a challenging time. But fear not, God's in control and He can be trusted. Would you take your Bible for a moment and turn from Matthew chapter 1 to Psalm 37 for a moment? Psalm 37. And would we look at verse number 1? Psalm 37 and verse number 1. And let's notice what the psalmist says here. And by the way, when we read these verses, please, when I'm reading them and you are looking at them, please look at them and hear me read them in such a way where you're considering the fact that there may have been times in your life of disappointment, but that God desires for you to turn those moments of disappointment into learning to trust Him. Learning to hear His still small voice saying to you, "Fear not," even in the disappointing times. Look at what the Bible says. Look at what the psalmist says in Psalm 37. He says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." That word "fret" there in Psalm 37, verse number 1, has the idea of worry. Don't worry yourself because of evildoers. Look at what he says at the end of the verse. "Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Again, there may be some things that are happening in your life where you say it seems to be a little bit confusing. As a matter of fact, the age-old question, why does it seem like people that do things that are so sinful and so wrong seem to get away with it and maybe even seem to have prosperous lives? And here somebody that's serving the Lord may go through the challenging times of life. We don't know all the answers to that, do we? But the Bible says we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about those confusing times. We don't have to worry about those disappointing and challenging times of life. Look at what he says here. "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the herb." Now he changes gears in this psalm, and this is what I love. He's telling us not to worry. Yes, there may be some times where you go through some challenges, you go through some disappointments, just like Joseph. But he's saying, I'm asking you not to worry about it, but then look at verse number 3. "Trust in the Lord." See, that's the answer right there. For any disappointment or any challenges or bad experiences we have in life, just learn to trust the Lord. Watch this. "Trust the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Just learn to trust the Lord, learn to rely upon His peace that He gives you. And by the way, God will give you present peace, but as we continue to trust Him, He even gives us future peace, doesn't He? Knowing that we have peace in the Lord as we put our trust in Him. And then notice this verse number 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." I love what verse 7 says. "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Now let's review what we've learned in this psalm. The Bible says we're not to worry when disappointing times come, or maybe when circumstances around us seem to be out of control, when it looks like those that are living in a sinful way are prospering, and those that are living godly have the challenges and the sorrows of life. He said, don't worry about all of that, but just learn to trust the Lord. And then he says, verse 4, delight in the Lord. He says in verse number 5, commit your way unto the Lord. And then he says in verse number 7, rest in the Lord. Aren't you thankful that just as Joseph had a fear not for times of disappointment, God again in His still small voice has a way of letting those who are His children know, when we go through times of disappointment, fear not, you just learn to trust me, you just learn to rest in me, commit your way unto the Lord and trust also in Him. Now the second thought I want to give you tonight, we're going to turn back to Matthew chapter 1. If you need to get back there, could you please do that? Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse number 19. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 19. The second way in which I believe Joseph learned the truth of fearing not in this Christmas passage of Scripture. Number one, we said a fear not for times of disappointment. But number two, I want you to notice a fear not for a time when he had to overcome public opinion. You know, sometimes we are awful worried and awful scared about the opinion of others. Here's Joseph considering what is going to happen and what the opinion of others are going to be when they find out about the unfaithfulness and the immoral actions of this lady, Mary, who is his espoused wife. Again, remember, at that time he still had the facts wrong, didn't he? He didn't know exactly what God's plan was in all of this, but God's teaching him in moments of disappointment, you can just trust me, just rely upon me, fear not, Joseph. But then a fear not for a time of overcoming public opinion. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 19, if you would. It says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. The Bible's teaching us here in verse number 19 that Joseph did not want Mary to be made a public example. He was trying to avoid what would be the public opinion of others that were around and really the public punishment for Mary, right? For her unfaithfulness as an espoused wife. So he didn't want her to face, he didn't want her to have to face that punishment that would come along with committing adultery and being unfaithful as an espoused wife. He feared what others would do when the facts were all known. Hey, when everything comes out and the facts are all known, Joseph feared what others would do, and so he said, I'm going to try to put her away privately, he says. I would imagine here as I'm thinking of this story, I would imagine that Joseph was getting to a place in which he realized that when others find out about this, they're going to have not only a bad opinion about her, but they're going to have a bad opinion about me as well. And just the unfaithfulness of this whole entire situation. But he soon is going to realize something very special and something very important. He is soon about to realize that God's opinion or God's words on the situation is all that really matters, right? See, in our lives, if we would get to that place where we would realize God's opinion is the only one that matters. The idea, and I know some have, there's been a song that's been written for this, and some have from time to time used this as a theme for maybe perhaps a conference or a youth rally. They give the idea of living for the audience of one, meaning that the only person that matters is Jesus Christ. His opinion is the only one that matters. We are living our lives for the audience of one. It doesn't matter what others around us, what their opinion is. It matters what God's opinion is, right? And what God's words are on the matter. But our responsibility as God's people should never rest on the opinions or the reactions of others, but what God wants us to do. Notice with me, if you would, Proverbs 29 for a minute. Proverbs 29, turn over there if you would. Proverbs 29, and we're going to read a verse there in Proverbs 29. And I want to notice, if you would, once you found Proverbs 29, down to verse number 25. Proverbs 29 and verse number 25. The Bible says this, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Have you noticed the passages of Scripture we've turned to? Both of those passages of Scripture have started out by talking about something that would be opposed to what God would want for a situation in our life. For instance, we went to Psalm 37 and it talked about worrying. He says, I don't want you to worry, but instead I just want you to trust me. And then in Proverbs 29 and verse number 25, he's saying, don't get to a place where you fear man, because fearing man will bring you a snare. But he said, just learn at the end of verse number 25, just learn to put your trust in the Lord and you will be safe. Let's get to a place where we don't allow others and what they do and how they react to keep us from God's best. Let's realize that the only opinion and the only words that truly matter are the opinions and the words of our God. Even after hearing that Mary was still pure, I'm sure that there were others that still had their opinions and they still had their reactions. Can you, I mean, just again, just picture the story. Again, we already know the outcome. So sometimes maybe in our mind it's hard to picture all of this. But can you picture even when the answer is given, well, she's still a virgin, but she is conceived of the Holy Spirit and she's going to bring forth a son and it's going to be Jesus. Can you imagine the reaction? Oh, sure. Sure she is. Can you imagine the reaction and the words and the opinion really still being a negative opinion or a negative reaction, still assuming, again, without proper facts and without proper belief and trust, that Mary had been unfaithful and she had been immoral. But we don't have to fear the reaction and the opinions of others if we're in the will of God for our lives. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, don't let the fear of man bring you a snare, but instead just learn to trust the Lord, stay in his will, and again, realize that it doesn't matter what others' opinion are, what others' words are, but we're only living and serving for the opinion of one, the words of one, and that is our God. Now, there might be somebody here tonight, and maybe an application that you can make for the message tonight in this particular point. Maybe you're being held back from some sort of surrender or some sort of service because of the reaction or the opinions of somebody else. Oh, if I go do this for the Lord, I can't imagine what so-and-so would say. Or if I desire to do this for God or surrender my life in this way, I don't know what the reaction of so-and-so will be. Don't let the reaction and the opinions of others cause us not to surrender and do what God would have us to do. He never wants us to live in that kind of fear, does he? So, as the angel said to Joseph, fear not. Number one, he said, fear not for times of disappointment. But number two, for times of the public opinion of others. But the last one I want to notice tonight is this. If you turn to Matthew chapter 1 one more time with me. Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse number 20. Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 20, I want to give you the third and final one tonight, and it's this. God is giving to Joseph that night through the mouth and the words of the angel a fear not for times of worry. A fear not for times of worry. Notice what the Bible says that Joseph has been doing during this. Look at verse number 20 if you would. But while he thought on these things, can you imagine Joseph and his thinking on the things that he has heard about Mary? I would imagine that it was a continual thinking. I would imagine it was probably something that caused him to have little rest, caused him to have a whole lot of worry, wondering if these things that he's heard about Mary are true and what decision I have to make next. Well, the Bible says this about worry in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. It says, be careful for nothing. That means to be worried about nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. So we're not to be worried about anything. And then I love the verse in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7, where he says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The next time you're led to worry about something, by the way, worry is a sin. And so when we're led to worry about something, may we hear the fear not of our God, saying, don't worry, you just take those requests to me. You cast your care upon me because I care for you. Did you notice that in your life, that when we have times of worry, a lot of times the things that we are worrying about really have no foundation at all? Can you think about this story for a moment? Hear what Joseph is worrying about, what Joseph is constantly thinking about, is something that has no foundation at all because an angel is going to come, right? And an angel is going to reveal something special to Joseph. Matter of fact, let's finish out the passage of Scripture. I know we already read through it, but look at verse number 20. He says, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Whatever it was that he was thinking about as far as Mary being unfaithful, Mary being immoral, how he was going to put her away, how he didn't want her to be a public example, and all of these things that were in his mind that he was thinking on, that he was worrying about, he had no real need to worry anyway, did he? Because it had absolutely no foundation at all. And so the Bible says in verse number 21, and she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It was done so that it could be fulfilled what the prophet said. We read verse 23. And then the Bible says in verse 24, then Joseph being raised from sleep did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. What does that mean? That means Joseph obeyed, right? And he did what the angel asked him to do. And so here are his thinking and his worrying about this whole entire situation with his espoused wife had no foundation at all. And he spent a whole lot of time thinking on something that he really had no need to worry about at all. What Joseph thought was going to bring death really ended up bringing deliverance, didn't it? I mean, here's a lady who's now committed adultery. She's going to have to die for this. But what he thought was going to bring death was something that God used to bring deliverance. You see, sometimes we worry about things that have no foundation at all. There's no reason for us to worry at all. What he thought would bring death brought deliverance. What he thought was sinful, we said this in the message already, was really something that God was going to use to be sacred. What he thought was going to ruin Mary's name actually gave Mary a really good name, didn't it? And you know, the Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Mary's done something that's going to ruin her name. No, it didn't ruin her name at all because God had a plan in all of it. And instead of ruining her name, it gave her a really good name, didn't it? And what he thought would be the result of people calling Mary bad really resulted in Mary being called blessed, didn't she? Hey, here's this situation that's happened in Mary's life. There's no way people are going to look at her and she's ruined herself. She's made a very bad choice. But no, God says, you're blessed. You're a lady that is highly favored. Again, at the time, Joseph didn't have all the facts. Thinking on things, worrying on things, and God says, just fear not. So the idea tonight is this. Let's get to a place where we exchange our fears for faith. Let's exchange our fears for faith. Let's not live in fear, but let's live in faith. And God will be with you in the moments of your fears. He'll be with you in the moments of your uncertainties. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28 that He's working all things out together for good, isn't He? Again, I say it so often, you've probably heard it said before. He didn't say that everything was good, but He said that everything would work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Just as He did with every fear not in the Christmas story, realize that He'll do the same for you. He'll help you in times of disappointment. He'll help you in times of worry. He'll help you in times of fear over public opinion and cause you to be able to see His plan through it all, His sovereignty through it all. And so I hope tonight with God's still small voice, maybe in your times of disappointment or your times of worry or your times of fear of others around you, that you would just hear God saying to you, fear not, I'll take care of you, I'm in control. Let's cast our cares upon Him. Let's be challenged from the story of Joseph and the fear not of this angel. Father, I pray that You would take the moment of invitation that we'll have at the end of our message tonight and be able to apply these things to our hearts, Lord, that we've heard tonight.